This is the Out of the Red podcast, hosted by Natalie O'Brien and Lisanna Murray. Out of the Red is the podcast for business owners and professionals alike who are pro-technology and want to keep their businesses in the black and out of the red. And in this episode, we have a conversation about IT expectations in Trinidad and Tobago. What do vendors usually expect? What do clients usually expect? Stay tuned to find out. And of course, do enjoy. This is the Out of the Red podcast where we, business owners, business entrepreneurs, young professionals, whatever you want to call us, we speak about the topics that are of interest to people who do business and are serious about their businesses growing, doing better, blah, blah, blah. I am your host, Lisanna Murray.
And I'm Natalie O'Brien.
And today's episode, or this episode rather, because you may be listening at night, this episode is about expectations.
Customers' expectations.
Customers' expectations.
Yeah, so I'll be taking over on this lead on this topic today. And customer expectations. As a customer, what do they expect from us, the small business owners, versus what the customer expects from a large corporation? So this is what we're going to be speaking about today.
Yeah, because you mentioned, you said that, how you pitched this episode to me is that you said there would be things that, let's take IT as an example. Let's say somebody is doing a general IT contracting services, a small business person. Even though it's a small business IT company, there will be things that they would expect them to do that typically it would be much easier for a larger company to do, albeit at a very high price. They would expect the same services or even products, albeit at a lower price because it's a small business, which may not be feasible, especially with technology-related industries, but also other industries as well, right?
Well, yeah. So, as you said, we'll use IT as an example. You have a small IT business. You may be specializing in one area in IT. As we know, IT consists of a lot of different fields that people specialize in. As a small business, they're not going to be able to handle the capacity of all the different aspects when it comes to IT in one end, providing it for a client or a customer. So your customer might come in and ask you for, say, development of a website. That is okay. We can provide that service.
But we want it done in 3 days and we want a custom content then. Management system,
yeah,
built from the ground up just for us.
Well, yes, that too. I'm not even a content manager. They might want a database design that will be able to automate their services or their products.
Sync with their in-house sales.
Yeah, and they would expect it to be done within a week, 2 weeks, maybe a month, if so much.
Because they're using some type of Dynamics or Salesforce system that they want you to, you know, just utilize the tools available to get that to work, right?
Yeah, that could be it.
Which would not be a problem for somebody at Microsoft or Salesforce who would be the company providing the tools.
And
right?
Who would be also the people they support who would actually know more about the system, the in and out, and what it actually does, compared to somebody who you're asking to do that. They now have to see, learn. They may not have the program. We as IT people don't have all the different programs on our computers and do everything that a software can do. We specialize in different software, so we have the points where you could say this is our specialty, this is what we know. If you ask this, we will be able to assist and help with you. But then when it comes to the payment and the cost, they want to not pay you for these things, which takes time. And some people don't understand time is precious. You know, the times you take, sometimes as in IT, you take time to research things. It takes time. It's not just the first thing you see, you're going to recommend. You have to know what, you know, you have to do your research, your due diligence when it comes to this. And your clients/clients, they would expect that you know this, you should know these things beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, I always, I sometimes literally sit down in bed and I think about this, like looking up at the ceiling, you know,
yeah.
before the sheep start jumping over my head. I literally sit down and I think about, you know, especially with software, specifically software I'm talking about
mm-hmm.
now. Software development is at a interesting time in history, right? No matter what part of the world you are in, I think. But, well, obviously there will be some places where, you know, they're not feeling the love.
Mm-hmm.
But in the US and in Europe and Canada as well, and even South America, being a software developer could sometimes feel like you're in paradise because there's so much demand for your services
mm-hmm.
and skills, right? I think in the Caribbean as well, there's also a decent amount of demand for these services because we have businesses here too, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But the parallel, it's like there's a demand, probably not the same, but there is a demand, but it's not enough demand for businesses to be willing to pay
mm-hmm.
for those services. They want, you know, ready-made solutions.
Yes, things out of the box. And the things out of the box, I would say that they do, like, for example, we could use QuickBooks as a prime example. A lot of people who want an accounting system, they may come to you as a developer and say, I want to create an accounting package.
And then they hear the price.
No, they don't even ask the price, but they start comparing it that they wanted, like, the integration of QuickBooks, Peachtree, you name some other account, and integrate all these things that these are billion-dollar companies.
Right.
And then they want you to develop something. And then when you say, okay, you know, you start telling them, okay, these are the steps we need to take. But they say, no, they want it within, as you say, they want it within 2 months. And it is unrealistic.
Yeah, but at the same time, the demand is definitely there because in some cases they do see the need.
Yeah.
But they don't have an understanding of what it takes to build these things.
Mm-hmm.
And also people tend to quickly, like we did the medical survey
mm-hmm.
a while back, as you know, and there were people who took that survey, and when we asked them, one of the questions was related to custom software versus software purchase off the shelf,
mm-hmm.
and there were a couple of reactions that were like, why would I even want my medical clinic to waste time developing
mm-hmm.
software when there's already solutions on the shelf?
Mm-hmm.
But mind you, those solutions are on the shelf already, obviously would be built with some bias. I heard a term recently actually that says the saying was, machine learning is basically outsourcing your bias or something like that. And I think that's true to off-the-shelf software as well too. Like that software has a bias to whatever conditions and scenarios the people who developed it were facing at the point in time. And anytime you attempt to build software that doesn't have a bias to a particular use or need, it ends up being crap because you have very vague targets.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have a bias in the develop of software. So similarly for the local users of software, they would want software that has been tailored to their needs,
mm-hmm.
but they don't understand how much what that involves in detail,
yeah.
nor do they want to understand.
And the thing is, I am in the process of doing a software tailored towards businesses in the Caribbean. But this is not something that is going to happen within months. This is going to something happen within years, maybe two,
mm-hmm.
next 3 years. But the process is that you have to start, and it's going to be a long, tedious task. But once you get started, things will start to fall into play. But is it that people are willing to join you, come on board, going through this process? So as a client, we have the client would be useful for us in this instance because they have the business. So we'll be using them as the models of how their business would, to get, you know, mm-hmm. get the idea for the automation and how the system will run and what are the benefits that they need. So basically, we customizing it in, while building it, it will be customizing in the sense that it can customize as it builds. But the client doesn't want to do that. They want it now. They expect us to be able to just, I say this to be done, and have things on. But I see things online that say you can make things within 2-3 days, drag and drop syndrome.
is that actual medical too? No, the drag and drop syndrome.
No, well, I just say that.
DDS?
Like, yeah, I would say, let's come up with a term. DDS, drag and drop. No, because clients, they tend to think as tech people, things are done within a space of a few minutes. Then I wouldn't put all the blame on the clients. Sometimes it will be blame on us, the tech people or the IT person.
Well, I actually was going to say that that's the nature of our industry,
yeah.
Because we could sit here and complain about
yeah.
clients not having reasonable expectations,
yeah.
but the second somebody comes along
yeah.
who has figured out or invested the time to be able to satisfy those expectations
yeah.
in those ridiculous amounts of times, they are going to eat up all our lunches,
yeah.
and that's the nature of the industry. We are constantly looking at ways, well, those who survive at least
mm-hmm.
are constantly looking at ways to become more efficient on what
mm-hmm.
they do so that they could survive,
yeah. But the thing is, even though they come and they do it quickly and they get the contract or they get the work, the end of the day, customer service, which is a topic outside of on its own, you know,
mm-hmm.
because at the end of it, there are people who deal with your customer. That's it. You give them, end it. No feedback after.
I'm like a true deadbeat dad. They're on to the next one.
Yeah, they on or the numbers change where you can't get in contact with them. They no longer want to hear from you. So building that customer relationship is a topic we may have later on based on customer relationships. So now we're just talking about really the expectations. So now it comes down to you and your client. They ask you for ABC, and then you as a small business person, now you want to provide a premium service. You want to, so they may ask for ABC and then you might add in EFG. EFG, which is using the alphabet, you know, EFG, which may be some things that you specialize in, and you could see adding quality to what they ask. So at the end of it, it will become.
I think that's what we call scope creep, and I actually avoid that 100%. I honestly would not add anything, not speaking specifically to custom.
Well, yeah,
built software.
Yeah, but no,
I would not add anything other than what the client has, I would say requested, but in most cases, it's a case that we go through analysis to figure out what is needed. Whatever I say is what is needed, that the client says, okay, this is what I need, I agree. I would not go beyond that, because scope creep can kill them. A lot of people do that. Without getting into any details, I have observed some other vendors, they would go roll with projects and add functionality and features that were generally not requested
mm-hmm.
or agreed upon, but they just felt it was a nice thing to add.
Well, no, well, yeah, but I wouldn't say adding it one time with all the client's knowledge, but at least giving them the opportunity to know that. These
make them aware of it. Yeah.
Make them aware that, okay, based on what you do, I can see you can improve it a bit with, you know, some little things that may not think, but it will be a cost attached. But then that comes, when it comes down to cost now, that's where they start to cut left, right. By the time they cut and cut and cut, they end up with something that they didn't really want. And then they'll blame everything on the developer or the person providing the service, that they didn't get what it is they want. Now, my thing is, they would do that with a small business or entrepreneur who provides you a service. Then you'll complain. But then if you go to a big corporation, they're not going to go through. They will just give you that, tell you, this is the case, this is the price, end of story. they produce what they say they're going to give you. If it doesn't work, you want it fixed, you have to pay additional. You're not going to batch off no big company, you may say.
Oh, of course they would.
But not in the sense that, you
not
know,
in an official way,
yeah,
because it looked bad. Yeah, because you have a point there, because let's take Flo as an example. Yes, I'm calling them out. Flo used to have such good service, but after being purchased, their service has been, in some cases, horrible. I've seen multiple people, including commercial clients, just having more problems than I would actually have with domestic internet connections, actually. And, you know, actually one particular case, the internet will go out from time to time, despite being on the business line. And lo and behold, these people just accept it to the point that they were actually considering Flo's commercial offerings. I forgot what they call it, but they have some IT related services as well, where they provide you with, you know, Azure Cloud and stuff like that. So they were actually considering it. But to me, you know, how I look at it is like, okay, you have problems with the internet these people provide you, you would really go and consider putting up your company's assets, you know, on their infrastructure as well. Like, you know, doesn't it occur to you that that'll be a problem? But, you know, it's almost as though because it's a bigger brand, they just kind of accept it. You know, and I see the same thing with TSTT as well, because I've seen certain companies rely on TSTT for, you know, fiber services. I forgot what I call it, but basically their services as well, where their old services from like the 1990s. Not the PBX, but they have services where they provide you like basically the equivalent of a VPN. I forget the name, what you call them, T1s or something like that. But they provide you with that service, and it's like horrible. But it's amazing to me that, you know, the people don't seem to complain despite the problems. Lo and behold, a small vendor comes along and provides something, and there's some problems, and generally they have no problem
blasting
your name in front of other people and whatnot. And it seems to be like, you know, one of these companies of a certain size. I mean, because it does look bad if one company insults another company publicly, at least, because that's not the professional business way of dealing with that matter. But when it's a small guy, you know, I don't know, perhaps it seems more publicly acceptable. I mean, we ain't going to put an ad out in the newspaper that this vendor is horrible, but in casual conversation, it seems like the staff and owners of the business have no problem telling you, this guy is horrible, stay far from him. Of course, that hurts the small business a lot more.
Yeah, and then the small business suffers. And the thing is they're trying to make a living. Just like everybody else, they're gonna make we all are going to make mistakes somewhere along the other. We are all not perfect, so things will eventually start to get better. But as you said, they will blast. But when you say with the Flo and the TSTT, the digital, I and Massey,
no, that don't exist anymore.
Well, okay,
Massey Communications.
Massey Communications. So we would say
Green Dot.
Well, it's no longer TSTT, it's Be Mobile. Flo, Digicel, Green Dot. All these people provide services, and I have heard complaints from every one of their customers. So to me,
domestic customers,
in the sense that if somebody asks me to recommend somebody, it's really, I cannot say use this person, use that person, because everybody has a different complaint from each provider. I have not yet to hear one provider that has never had a complaint.
Which is to be expected.
Right? But when it comes to small business now, it's like, it may have more than one small business, but they may just have on that one particular business. In complaints, but it's really hard. But I think too, as an entrepreneur and a small business owner, we also have to be able to express ourselves more and be able to get our points across to the customers when it comes to the expectations, not just, you know, because we have to be able to take control of the service and what we could provide for the customer, rather than letting the customer come and tell us what to do, because eventually customers would then they will do their own research and come and tell you like they know more than you.
As doctors will tell you, because you know, they go through that. People
For the doctors, we will go on WebMD and diagnose ourselves and then go to the doctor and tell him, I think this is the problem. And who went to school and studied medicine? He just went on.
But let me say that, like, even with what we said in this episode so far, when it comes to technology, at least, I actually still think, though, that it's entirely our fault as vendors, because not individually, but collectively, we don't do enough to educate people in a neutral manner. Any attempts to educate the public on technology always tends to be like, for instance, you would have a Microsoft event educating people about doing application mock-ups, for example. The whole event would be in Microsoft products, which may be expensive, out of reach for the audience, but the point of the whole thing is to promote Microsoft products, which is understandable. That's what a company would do. But what I'm saying is, if we as various vendors locally put some more effort into just getting that general awareness out there to customers, so rather than taking advantage of the customer's ignorance and saying, yeah, you can have a website done for you in 2 days, and 2 days pass and there's no website, he explained to them, well, okay, do you understand? You ask them, do you understand what it takes to build a website? This needs to happen, that needs to happen, whatever, whatever. That same information, you know, whoever that company or person might be, probably even you, actually, because you do website. You do a little short PDF document, what it takes to get a website done. You put that in the public domain. You can even put your company's logo to get some promotion out there. We put that out there so that the customers are more aware of what it entails. After speaking with some people, it is clear to me that there are a lot of people out there who want technology because of the benefits it can make. They want technology to either boost their sales, or they want technology to actually be the product, but they could care less about all the details. But on the other hand, if there's enough effort to make sure people understand that, listen, you're not going to get this overnight.
Yeah.
You know,
take time.
It's at least going to put pressure on them now as a business person to go to a professional and be like, well, can I get this done by tomorrow? And that kind of thing. Because in some fields, you are not going to ask a building contractor to build a house for you by the end of the week. You'll look like a fool. Because even though, I mean, I may not know much about what it takes to build an actual building, but it's just common knowledge that it's not overnight thing. It takes time. There's a lot of processes involved. I might not know what all the processes are, but I know that there's other things have to be done. They have to, you know, actually get approvals.
Yeah, it has a lot of different processes before you can get to the end product.
There are steps, and I'm saying that if in technology industry, we have more neutral work to put that information in public's eyes, then very ridiculous people would feel embarrassed to ask ridiculous requests.
But like a framework or something, because as I said, we overload with a lot of information, and then as a client, they may pick the wrong information because they don't know. They just, and again, as I tell people, everybody's marketing their products and services to you. So you as a client coming, you would see different products and services and think, oh, this one, but it may not be the right product or service for what you want to do. So that's why you go to the professionals where you discuss, and then they can recommend what is the right thing for you to use. So that is my take on customer expectations. I think we need to, as you say, have that education needs to be out there. And the education is not, I think there are a lot of YouTube videos and stuff out there, but the education needs to be coming from us here locally, because you may see things from the outside and you may look, oh, this prime example, a lot of people watch HDTV. They show you how to remake a room, how you can do these things in a one. Now, you here in Trinidad want to do over your room. When you look at the little things, they show you that you can just go up in your normal hardware and pick this and do this. If you go to do that here, you would be like completely lost. I had a friend, she was talking about DIY projects. She said, oh, they make, they make these projects look so simple. You just do that, you buy these cheap things. There was one with a tube, the tubes they use for...
Copper tube?
No, not the copper tubes. The ones like for the bathrooms, the PVC tubes. Well, PVC tubes. And we went into a hardware, and it was something to use with like four of that. And then when we went into the hardware, each one was $50. So by the time you do your DIY project, because Bessie had bought... because the cost of the little things is what it adds up. It's not like you're in the States where it'll be like 50 cents.
Yeah, we don't benefit from economies of scale either.
Right. So I think, to, as you say, education, we need to educate people from our perspective rather than looking at the outside. Because as a small, I do website development, I'm a small business. I'm not a large business where I have 10 to 60 developers and they've broken down into different specialties that I can just say, okay, this team handle that and whip it out.
Yeah, you know, because I agree, because even with like your favorite content management system.
Yeah.
Right.
Not going to name names.
No, I'm gonna name names. No, because I mentioned I'm talking about WordPress.
Yeah, you I will let people know it is him who has said that is my favorite.
Hey, it's your favorite.
I'm just utilizing it.
But is there any other that you prefer?
Huh?
That you would choose over WordPress?
Actually, yes.
Really?
Yeah, actually.
Full blown content management system that you would give to a client.
One that I will build.
Good answer. But no, but my point is, right, because I've seen people talking about how secure WordPress is, which is, I think, a dangerous statement to me. It's definitely gotten a lot better. They talk about all the features of WordPress and why it makes sense. But let me say something about WordPress. WordPress, I don't remember when it started, but it may have, I know it's been around since probably 2006 or somewhere around there, or probably even earlier. But WordPress is a very old project. You know, it's had, anybody who followed internet security can tell you there were points in time where there was every week we used to see an announcement of a new problem found in WordPress, and basically all WordPress sites were vulnerable. And basically, you know, as time rolled on, the project kind of got itself together. I recall at one point in time I wanted to be a contributor.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for an open source project. Somebody mentioned WordPress to me.
Mm-hmm.
I took a look at the code base and I was horrified. I ran it. I almost literally ran in horror.
Oh my.
But years afterward, I saw that the code base itself got revamped. They cleaned it up significantly.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is the project developed into a much more robust product over years and years of basically, you know, taking hits, improving on it, you know,
and
taking a real beating.
Yeah, that's the thing with technology and development, is that you would never get it right the first time, but eventually you start to see.
It took a long while for it to reach where it is right now. So
yeah,
to even start looking at WordPress and comparing the local efforts, you know, I'm not talking about just content management system, but what I'm saying is people would, an user or a client would just see WordPress as a product as it is there now, but they would not see all the years of horror
into
getting that product to where it is.
They don't see the hard, the sweat and the tears and they don't see that. They see the nice, pretty thing in front of you.
Yeah, and we need to, I mean, that works from a marketing perspective, that you just have customers focus on the nice, pretty thing you put in front of them.
Yeah.
But we as an industry need to do more to make sure that customers understand that a lot of these products that you see from other countries, this is what it took to reach there.
Yeah.
And we similarly are going through the same thing with some other projects.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not telling you you should support us
mm-hmm.
because we are at a different stage. But I'm saying you should have a more objective opinion when you look at your local industry developing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be so quick to compare to years of work from another
mm-hmm.
country.
Yeah.
Because when some of these projects that are being done locally or within your region reach that maturity, it means for us as you know, our economy, we now have projects and products that will be more biased to our needs,
yeah.
which could cut down significant costs, for instance, that some companies might be paying in foreign license fees to
yeah.
SAP to hire specific SAP developers
yeah.
to put in a local tax module or something like
oh,
that.
Oh yeah, and then the currency and the exchange rate is I think most people always want to that exchange rate to be, and it's never an easy task.
Yeah. So, and I guess that was it.
Okay.